There's a question that has been posed to me throughout the years as a priest. I think I've shared it with some of you before, especially when I was serving in the Southeast, but even here in California. And the question is this. Such and such church down the road started out with the pastor and five people in their living room, and now they have 3,000 members. Why can't we do that? Why can't we be like that church? And when that question was first posed to me, I will confess that internally my answer to the question, why can't we be like that church? It was, well, I must not know what I'm doing. I'm not holy enough. I don't have enough of a work ethic. And I think all those things are true. But really there's a reason that church became the church it became. It's because when those half dozen people started out in the pastor's living room, they said, we're going to all support the church sacrificially and at least tithe. We're going to pray for the success of this church. We're going to attend church faithfully on time. We're not going to gossip. We're going to participate in the ministries of the church. We're going to work for the church. And I would submit that if any one of us here today, if one priest and five lay people were given the blessing by the metropolitan to start a church someplace, and we started with that as our foundational context, and everybody who came into our church knew that they were required to worship, to pray, not to gossip, to support the church, and to work for the church, then we could have the same kind of results. I'm absolutely convinced of that. But I think if you want to take it to a little bit more of a higher level, a more general level, and asking the question, how is it that our church could be the kind of church we're talking about, the church where Father Nathaniel, where's Father Nathaniel this morning? Well, where Father Nathaniel talked about engaging the world and talking about being an exceptional church. Talking about a church that's not in decline, I would submit that this morning's scripture readings offer some thoughts for us with regard to how it is we can shape this next generation of the church. And it's simply by listening to what was preached in the first generation. In the Acts of the Apostles, we heard this morning what? They preached the word of God with boldness. They preached the word of God with boldness. And what do we hear in the gospel reading? Jesus says, I seek not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. We are commanded to emulate Jesus and do the will of the Father. Now, when we talk about preaching the word of God with boldness, we don't mean this in some sort of a literal bibliolatric sense. If that were the case, then we could say, we're going to preach the word of God with boldness. But we basically are going to preach the word of God with boldness, which means we preach the saving, the salvific, the redemptive message that we believe in. God became man, experienced everything we experienced, conquered every painful and difficult element of life, conquered death itself, rose to the dead, and grants each one of us the opportunity to be saved, to experience healing, and to experience the fullness of life in this world so that we can be with Him in eternity. That is the Word of God that needs to be preached with boldness. Now, we've all heard the apocryphal saying, sometimes attributed to the patron saint of San Francisco, preach Christ, and when necessary, use words. And that's true. And to be sure, each one of us needs to make sure that our life is a living example of the gospel. People should be able to see Christ at work in our lives. I have been at Holy Trinity almost 9 years, and I hope and pray that the parishioners who know me for 9 years can say, Father Harris is a different Christian than he was in 2008. He's a more serious Christian, and I hope if I live another 9 years, they'll say that about me again. And I hope and pray that when people look at our parish, they say, this is a different church than it was 9 years ago. And 9 years from now, I hope that the gospel will be even more alive in the life of the church. That is an outcome that we should all desire. But let's not kid ourselves. Preach the word of God with both means to preach, and we need to preach. And those of us who are in the business of preaching, we need to make sure that we say the truth, and we proclaim it loudly. And occasionally we might even need to ruffle some people's feathers, but that's okay because we are called to preach the word of God with boldness. And as we engage in the world needs to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We should not be afraid to say Jesus Christ in public. We should not be afraid to invite people to partake of the salvation that we offer as a church. And then there is this business of conforming ourselves to the will of God, because that's what it really means when Jesus says, I seek not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. We are to conform ourselves to the will of God, and yet we would be very well served to do this. And where do we find the will of God? Well, we find it in the Old Testament. We find it in the Ten Commandments. We find it in the New Testament in the words of Jesus himself. Forgive 70 times 7, turn the other cheek, bear one another's burden. It goes on and on and on. We find it in the other words of Scripture, and then we find it in 2,000 years of lived Orthodox Christian tradition. And everything is encompassed in that tradition. Our canon law, everything else, it is there. It is the will of the Father that we are called to follow, and it's not an optional thing. And a beautiful thing happens, by the way, when we follow the will of the Father, it keeps us in line, if you will. So when people say, well, I think such and such behavior is no longer a sin, well, we can look back on 3,500 years of Judeo-Christian tradition and say, well, in 2017, do I know more about sin than everybody who came before me for the past 3.5 millennia? Or when somebody else says, I think the Orthodox Church should start doing the following. Okay. Well, we have 2 millennia of saints, of pious parish priests, of monastics, of simple grandparents, of enlightened theologians. We have 2 millennia that have said something before us. And I'm not sure I'm prepared just to stand up and say, you know, for 2,000 years they've been wrong. But I say that not as a way of us conforming to the will of the Father in some slavish way, because remember that the will of the Father first and foremost is love. God is love. This I ask that you love one another, love your neighbor as yourself, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love conquers all. The greatest of these is love. We are a religion of love, and we are called to love people. And that is the most important thing that you and I can do if we're going to follow the will of the Father. And in order to really love someone, it's really necessary very simply to look within ourselves. I can look within myself and say, I am a sinner. I've done horrible things in my life. I'm not worthy to be in this position as a priest. It's only by the grace of God. And now I can talk to you, my dear brother or sister, and talk about your sin because I love you. I don't endorse your sins any more than I endorse my sins, but I love you and I'm willing to talk to you. Because why? Because we are called to conform to the will of the Father. And God is love. And lest we kid ourselves, you're either all in or all off. You're either all in or all out when it comes to preaching the word of God with boldness. You're either all in or all out when it comes to conforming to the will of God. You can't just sort of preach the word of God. You can't be timid about it. We can't cut corners. We can't beat around the bush. We have to tell the truth. We proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's it. And conforming to the will of God, again, we're either all in or all out. I can't say I like 7 of the 10 commandments and the other 3, I'm not sure. I can't say, yeah, I really like the teachings of Jesus, I'm willing to love my enemies, but not the enemy that really hurt me. I'm willing to forgive, but not that person. We can't say as Orthodox Christians, yeah, I like being Orthodox, but I'm not really sure if I'm totally into fasting. It just doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. You're all in or all out. And lest anybody thinks that you can be halfway in and halfway out, just keep reading the Bible till near the very end, and you'll find out what God means about lukewarm believers and lukewarm Christians. So this morning, as we consider what it means to be a church, as we reflect on the beautiful words of Father Nathaniel yesterday, to reflect on His Eminence's address to us and all that, as we ponder the questions that we ourselves are asking, which is, how do we grow? How do we stop the decline? How do we share the Orthodox Church with the world around us? I think it really begins by what? Preaching the Word of God with conforming ourselves to the will of the Father. Who knows? If we all commit to doing that, then sometime in the not too distant future, that church down the road is going to look at the Orthodox Church, the Greek Orthodox Church on the corner, and they're going to say, what's going on there? How can we be more like that church?